Hello again, everybody. It's Chuck Ross, editorial director at Television Week magazine, TVWeek.com. And we're on again with Howard Gordon, showrunner and executive producer of 24. And we're here to talk about season six, hour 5 to 6, and another really tense episode. Howard, how are you this morning?
Great. Thanks, Chuck.
Boy, I got to tell you, that was just vintage Action Hour 24 last night, without a doubt. Let's get right to it. One of the things that I think is sort of a hallmark of this season is that Jack appears a little more invincible, I guess, if invincible is sort of a Supermanish. I mean, you know, he is into the gets into the embassy, but it doesn't go as well as Jack usually has it, and he gets caught. And I don't know, you know, if season two or three that actually would have happened with Jack.
That's an interesting point, and I hadn't thought of it. Honest to God, he probably just got caught because we needed to episode 12 from bumping into episode 14. So it was a complication that made things worse for our hero rather than better.
Right.
Of course, added to the tension of his having the knowledge of where Rodenko was, but not being able to communicate that to the authorities.
Right.
So again, you know, he'd operated without their sanction. So, but, you know, multiple conflicts within the situation.
Right. Another thing that was that you've done so well is I love bringing Charles Logan, Greg Itzkins, the actor, of course, back in this season. And what's so wonderful, I think, about that that character is not, you know, a black and white character. There are lots of shades of gray. I think as viewers, we really don't know what Logan is going to do next. He's a very complicated guy, and that continues. With last night's episode.
Yes, and you know, I'll tell you, there was an interesting wrinkle, or maybe it's an anecdote that's worth telling, is in my mind, you know, Charles Logan was truly somebody who has sought redemption, and is somebody who, in the hindsight of being out of power and in serving time, has thought about his life and has tried to make amends. But it's the old joke about the snake and the scorpion and the turtle or something, you know, giving the scorpion a lift across the river and the scorpion stings him.
Right.
You know, we don't know whether this guy really is up to something or whether he's agendized, and that keeps it uneasy.
Oh, exactly. There's no doubt about it. And then the other thing I liked about last night episode a lot is we brought in Peter McNichol's character again, and he's back on the scene. And there's some ambiguity there. I think a lot of folks, might maybe groaned in maybe the first episode or second episode, thinking, "Oh, this guy's going to be an ideologue and just go one way or the other." But obviously, as we've seen as the season has developed, he's gone all different ways.
Yeah, and at least at this point, he sees essentially that Daniels, this vice president, is in some ways the monster he gave rise to. It's a little bit of a Frankenstein story.
Right.
Now that he's getting his policy and getting his way, the limits of his own morality are being tested.
Definitely. Howard, you're so nice in that you said that we can bring some fans in to ask some questions.
Sure.
And we're going to bring in Mr. Frank Bailey. Let's see if he's on the phone. Frank, are you on the line?
Yes.
Yeah, Frank is from Fort Worth, Texas. And Frank, you're on with Howard Gordon. And would you sort of tell Howard and me sort of how you got into 24? You've done something pretty remarkable, I think, in the last few weeks, if you could just tell us for a moment.
My son has been a fan for, I guess this is the sixth season, and he's always recommended it to me, and I finally got around to watching one live episode and this season, and that's all it took.
And as of yesterday, I think you told me you had watched 52 episodes or so, or 56, but I think you watched four or five more last night?
Well, we watched the live one, and then we watched three of the recorded ones. So my wife and I are up to about 60.
You may have to check into rehab, Frank.
I'm an addict now.
They have support groups.
that would not surprise me.
That's great to hear. I'm glad you like it.
Mm. Yeah, we may have to do an intervention. Frank, you want to go ahead and ask Howard your question?
I was just curious where 24 might be the most popular outside the U.S.
You know, the show is, I think it's one of Fox's best performing shows abroad. I know it's extremely popular in the United Kingdom. In fact, I think on a percentage basis, it's maybe even more popular there than it is here.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, it's really, really popular there. And Japan, it's a huge hit also, apparently. I think it does, as I understand it, it does extremely well in almost every foreign market. I think it's carried in over 200 territories. So it plays, you know, I think it plays in as far afield as Jordan and, you know, and believe it or not, it's popular there as well.
That's interesting. Wow.
Yeah. It must
translate well into other cultures.
It seems to. And I think, you know, Europe and especially cultures that have been more touched by terrorism, I think that it plays for similar reasons. But I think adrenaline, which is obviously what the show is, you know, generates, is kind of a universal thing. It translates well. It travels well.
Well, the only problem it's created for me is I get up at 6, my wife gets up at 7, or at 8, and so she wants to always watch one more episode of the DVD, and I can't do it.
Well, it's good. Thanks, Frank. I appreciate watching. Enjoy the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Frank, and Frank. Thanks again, Howard. We're going to be very interested to see where this develops next week, and we'll give you a holler again next Tuesday. And thank you so much, gentlemen.